So we are in Perek Mem, and looked around for something special, and came across in the Sefer Shimon HaTov, I think we actually quoted this in Shul a couple of years ago, an amazing story. Shimon HaTov, of course, is Rav Weinberger, who was a Rav in Borough Park for, not Borough Park, in Williamsburg, right? Rav Dov Zev Weinberger. So he has the following story. It's quoted also in the Sefer Oznaim LaTorah from Rav Zalman Saratskin. And he says he heard it from the Brisker Rav, in the name of his father Rav Chaim. That there is one time that when Napoleon was heading east, so Napoleon, right, we know the story, Napoleon, the Napoleonic Wars in the early 1800s, so he's traveling east, which ended up was a disputed time. The different rebbes had different opinions about this. Lubavitcher Rebbe was not thought this was not such a good thing, the Alter Rebbe, but many other of the Rabbanim thought that it was a very good thing. And Napoleon headed east. Yes, and he when he gets to wherever he was, so he wanted in Eastern Europe. So he wanted to make a feast. They made a party for Napoleon in one of the very rich people's houses. And many of the Mansige Hadatos Hashonos, many of the different religions, were represented. Avalo Afachad Mibein Hayehudim, but not one rabbi came. No rabbi was invited. Okay. So V'toch HaSimcha Kesharbu Shavachim Al Gedolos Napoleon V'Al Nitzchono, and because of their joy, of all the praises that they were giving to Napoleon, he asked, Lama inkan mishmi atzeges hadas hayudis? Why is there no representative of the Jews? Why is there no rabbi here? Napoleon wants to know. V'nifta hamargein v'hiftiach l'takim b'suuda hashenis be'erev. So the organizer is surprised by the request. He says, we have to rectify it. Let's have another suuda in the evening. We'll dig up a rabbi. We'll find some rabbi. So how are they going to find a rabbi in the area? So v'take of halchul ir katana smucha v'izminu harav demasa shibud l'chavod Napoleon. So they go to the closest shtetl. They find the rabbi there. And they tell the rabbi, no, we need you to come and give kavod to Napoleon. Rabbi, I wish I knew some Yiddish to kind of develop this a little bit more. But the rabbi says, what, me? How could I possibly be? So I think I saw in a different edition that he had to like find clothing to wear. A whole story. So he shows a take of halchul ir katam. So v'chashabikshu mimenu linu'um kishar hanoamim. So they ask him to address like the rest of the people who address the king. So amar dehu eino royal adabel lifnei melch mi'olam lo'am rak b'divrei Torah. He says, I can't speak in front of Napoleon. I don't know this phrase. I don't know current events. All I know is a little bit of Torah. So v'amar lo Napoleon, so Napoleon jumps up and says, Ani kvar soveya mikol hashvachim shenamru. He says, I'm already filled with all of the praises that they're giving me. No, let me hear a shtickle Torah. Right? V'ani rotz lishmo miyacha Torah. V'yaz pateach harav amar. So the Rav begins to speak and say, what? Yeah. So the Rav begins to speak, and he says, "Boteach Yudei Lechem Hasipar Al Yosef Shenesar Yachvim Sar Hamashkim Sar Ofim Upatu Lehem Chalomosam." That I'm sure everybody here knows the story of Yosef. You also was on Broadway, right? You still know the story of Yosef with his dreams, how he's in prison, and the baker and the butler, and how he explained to them their dreams. Right, and what is he talking about here? So that is in Perek Mem Pasuk Yudalad. It says once he explains the dream to him, he says, "Ki im zichartani itcha, when I will be remembered by you, kasher yitavlach of the good I did for you, vasisenei madi chesed, you'll do for me a kindness." So asks the rabbi, "Veini muvan." He says, "I don't understand. The eich maschilim bakash besagnun kazeh shel kiim. What kind of way is that making a request? Right? The butler is going to be in a prestigious position. He should ask him nicely. What does it mean? When you remember me, right? That's not a very normal. That's not a normal way to ask the question." He said, "Perhaps you'll remember, right? I request." So Ella Perish had verm who diadua keshaministar gadol chote neger hamoshel eno nesar takef eliacha hakira vidrishik de levarsh omnam chait viazlo sikui of shomnam chait. That when somebody high up in the government of the king, when he does some kind of sin against the king, they don't just throw him into jail. They go through a trial. They work everything out. They examine all the evidence. And when there were no other prospects, to exempt him, right? He says he's in jail because he was examined and it's supposed to be in jail. But he's going to get out of jail. And not just get out of jail, he's going to be put back into his position. Right? That's a miracle. That's amazing. The whole thing is wild, right? They didn't know examination, and yet he's going to get into, right? The whole thing is wild. And that's what Yosef is telling him. Yosef is telling him, you really think that the reason is because you should be getting off the hook because you deserve it? No, the whole purpose of you getting free and the whole purpose of you being put in the position you're about to be put back into is so that you remember me. And that's why he says, when you remember me, because that's what's supposed to happen next. V'chein amar harav. So then the Rav turns to Napoleon and he says, Ma pitom ba Napoleon le Mizrach Europe. Why are you coming to Eastern Europe? El de Sivi vakarish baruchu kacha, kadeshu yavir es kol hainuyim vigezerus akashus azoblim hayudim kan. Obviously, Hashem has put you in this place so that you can remove all of the gezerus, all of the difficult things that are upon us. Va yedecha yavok tzas Yeshua lachem, and through you will come a little bit of a Yeshua, a little bit of being saved. Vizehu sibas nitzchono secha. And that is the reason why you are being successful. And the Napoleon appreciated what the Rav said, and he grabbed the hands of this Rav. And he had the parentheses, but Adam Shem Osarav Nella below Muskar. The name of this rabbi seems to be disappeared. We don't know the name of this rabbi, but this is the story that was passed on by way of Masorah. So the Shemana Tov continues. And he explains, and perhaps that's the pshat in Rashi. In Rashi, it says by the Rashi, ki ein na el loshon bakasha. Basisa na imadi chesed v'emes. Rashi adds in the words ein na el loshon bakasha. This is a way of making a request. So he asks, what do you mean? Of course, he's making a request. We already had this idea of basisa na imadi chesed. We already had this in previous situations. Why is this being said here? So why does Rashi add this here? So he says, because the whole thing is difficult. Mishar hamashkim, right? V'alo alav nemar ashri agevesh Hashem Hashem miftacho. Right? The whole issue with Yosef and with regards to the sar hamashkim, right? The whole issue is difficult, especially because we find out at the end of the parsha that Yosef is stuck in jail for another extra 2 years because he made too much effort to make a request of the sar hamashkim, right? He says, "Kiim zachartani itchak asher telaf hasem adivi his kartani el paro." He says the word zachartani twice.
Where?
In pasuk yudalad, 14. He says, "When I'll be remembered by you," and then he says, "You'll remember me to paro." So umuchrachim lomar di Yosef hiki mitoch achalam gufa di Yeshuas yavo al idei sar hamashkim. So perhaps, how do we understand that idea that Yosef is being punished? So perhaps Yosef recognized that was the purpose of the sar hamashkim. The reason he used that language as sar hamashkim, according to the story of the rabbi who spoke to Napoleon, right, is because Yosef recognized that the whole purpose of the sar hamashkim being let free is what? In order to free him. So then you turn around, you understand a little bit. So now, why then does Yosef have to put the extra hishtadlos in? I mean, I understand everybody is bothered by this, right? Somebody's in jail. So you do whatever you can in order, right? There wasn't just one guy who wrote one petition in order to free Jonathan Pollard, right? Everybody wrote petitions and over and over and over again. Why don't we say, well, if Jonathan Pollard's supposed to be free, so we did our hishtadlos and that's it. It should be over, right? The answer is because we don't know how much hishtadlos is to be put in. So it says Rav Weinberg, no, but Yosef knew. Yosef recognized in his dream that the only reason the Sar HaMashkim is being let free is in order to let Yosef free. So if Yosef recognizes that, so why does he have to keep bugging him to remember him? If that's the whole purpose, Yosef should have faith in that purpose. He should have faith in his own interpretation of the dreams. And he concludes, I quoted this a couple days ago when we went to this the first time, finally found it, I recognize where I saw it. He says, V'chein ze shamati, I heard this story, b'had the shal Rav Chaim Ibriskas, Rav Shimon Shkap, zichronim levracha. Rav Chaim once asked Rav Shimon, It's unclear at what point in history this took place. Rav Chaim was also a Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin when Rav Shimon Shkup was a young boy. Or I don't know if it's when Rav Shimon was a young boy or when they were older and Rav Shimon was already Rosh Yeshiva. I don't know. But he once asked Rav Shimon Shkup, "Denemar denenash Yosef shteishon mishum shenemar kim zachar tani vihis kartani." But he says, "If you'll remember me," and then it says later on in the pasuk, "and you'll remember me." Shtei zachirus, two times it says remember. V'shal Rav Chaim, ma haya oncho? What would be the punishment imol yelo amar ela pamachas? Let's say he would only have said remember me once. What would Yosef's punishment have been? Rav Shimon Shkup responds, "Well, obviously, if he's punished twice for saying it twice, he'd be punished 1 year for saying it once." So Rav Chaim turns to him and says, "V'analo Rav Chaim, delo haya nenash legamri. No, just saying 'remember me' once, he wouldn't have been punished at all." But you're allowed to do a little bit of ishtadlus in order to be saved. But because he went too far, because he demonstrated too much a need for this desire for ishtadlus, he didn't put enough faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as we just read before, he didn't put enough faith in his own emunah, in his own faith, in his own understanding of those dreams. So therefore, Yosef is punished. It should have required only one. Yosef should have recognized it should have only taken one zechira, and instead he said it twice. Therefore, he gets punished and gets stuck in jail for 2 years. There is a famous story that in the passing of the Balfour Declaration, we're about to get it. I just realized when I looked at this today, we're not far away from the 100th anniversary of the Balfour Declaration. It took place November 2nd, 1917. And the story goes that on December 2nd, 1917, there were crowds gathered in the London Opera House, filled by 2,700 people, and then they were filled in another place as well where they had another ceremony going at the same time. Why were they all filling the London Opera House? The Jewish community had gathered everybody together to give shevach, to give thanks to the British government for passing the Balfour Declaration. Right? Now all of a sudden we're going to have a Jewish homeland, and Mashiach is coming. And that was... anybody here remember? No. Some who might have been around at the time will say that they thought that this is it. This is the beginning. You know, the redemption is beginning right now. And the Rav Kook happened to be in London at the time. What was Rav Kook doing in London? He had already made Aliyah. Years earlier, he had made a decade before. I'm not sure. I forget the exact date. He has already been in Eretz Yisrael for a while. Rav Kook went to the first Knesia Gedola. Took place in, should have written down the dates. It took place in, right around the breakout of World War I. He was in Europe in order to attend the Knesia Gedola of the Agudas Yisrael, the first or second Knesia Gedola, where all the Rabbanim for all the world were getting together. And Rav Kook, as the representative of the city of Yafo, goes to the Knesia Gedola, of the Agudas Yisrael of America. Right? A little bit of a different world today. So he goes, and then World War I breaks out, and Rav Kook is stuck in Europe. So he goes to Switzerland for a year or two, and then he gets hired as a job as the rabbi of the Machzike Hadas Shul in London. They don't have a rabbi. They figure, right, I heard Rav Kook's available. So they bring in Rav Kook, and Rav Kook is the rav of this shul in London for a year or two. So Rav Kook is at this meeting, at this rally to give thanks to London, to the British government. So Rav Kook goes. And among the speakers was the eminent Rav Kook from the city of Yafo. Due to circumstances related to the war, was in London at the time. Rav Kook's message was quite different. While everybody was saying, we give thanks, we appreciate everything the British government has done for us, Rav Kook says, "I have not come here to thank the British nation." No one's quiet. Not come here to give thanks, but even more, to congratulate it for the privilege of making this declaration. The Jewish nation is the scholar amongst the nations and the people of the book, Nation of Prophets, and it is a great honor for any nation to aid it. I bless the British nation for having extended such an honorable aid to the people of the Torah so that they may return to their land and renew their homeland. Right? I'm not thanking you because you made the decision to do so. I am pointing out that you are very lucky to have been in the position that you were able to help us. Right. Psh, take some guts. But that's the same idea here, where Yosef is saying to the Tsar Hamashkim, you're not being freed, now you're freed, so now maybe if you do me a favor, you can help me out. You're being freed so that you can help me out. So when you help me out, you know, you realize that that's when you're ultimately fulfilling your destiny. That's when you're ultimately fulfilling what you were placed in this situation to do. What? December 2nd, 1917.
This is a critical period. They weren't sure they were going to win the war. Those Russians
mean World War One.
It was only a one front war.
World War One, yeah.
Yeah, and the Germans were sure they were going to win now.
Right.
But they fended off the Russians left.
Okay.
And the whole body was waiting for America.
Yeah. So having
America didn't cooperate.
So having emuna. Having emunah in our own prophecies is a challenging thing. You hear these stories of people saying, "Oh, Mashiach was about to come, or this was about to happen," and the people weren't. You know, the people aren't ready for it, right? So, what does it mean? People aren't ready for it. So, I was listening to a shiur last week from Rabbi Rakefet. Anybody interesting, Rabbi Rakefet, in his available on YU Torah, he's currently going for the last year or so, year and a half. He's been covering the Lubavitcher Rebbe. All the different aspects of Lubavitch, and now he about the Rebbe in America, and all he did in America, and now he's finally up to the Messianism aspect. So he's given two shiurim so far, the Messianism aspect. Probably continue for another couple of weeks on that topic. Available on YU Torah. So in the first shiur on the Messianism issue, right? So he quotes the following Dvar Torah. Who's the following Dvar Torah? Right? The issue of is one permitted? Is one supposed to name Mashiach? Is one supposed to, like, what does that mean? That every generation is a possibility for Mashiach? He has a personal story that he shares there as well. He has a personal story, I'll start with that. He has a personal story where he shares that he was once speaking for Lakewood. He was a rabbi in Newark or near Newark when in 1968. He made Aliyah, I think, in 1969. So in 1968, he was a rabbi there. And the way these yeshivas, Lakewood, I mean, when I was in the RJC, the MTJ was still doing this, the Moshe Feinstein's yeshiva. They would have breakfasts, Sunday morning breakfasts in various communities in order to raise funds for that yeshiva. There was nobody who was able to write multi-million-dollar checks to these places. That's how they supported themselves. So Rabbi Rakefet had learned in Lakewood for a little bit. So if Schneer Cutler comes to Maplewood, that's the name of the city, Maplewood, New Jersey, and they have a Sunday morning breakfast, L'chavod, Rav Schneer Cutler, and they're going to try to raise money for the Lakewood Yeshiva. So Rabbi Kefet gives at that point still Rabbi Rothkopf, gives who by the way was a rabbi of this shul. I don't know if you realize that. Aaron Rakefet was the rabbi of Lower Merion Synagogue before this, in the mid-60s. He lasted a year. So if you want to read the story is available in Washington in his memoirs, you can take a look at what happened to him as rabbi of Lower Merion Synagogue. So he quotes the story. It's right after the Six-Day War, and he quotes the story from the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph. There it says, "Masa Duma Eli Kori Misir," a harsh prophecy of Duma, one calls to me from Seir, saying, "Shomer Min Halayla." No, I'm looking at the wrong page here. I'm sorry about that. Sorry, all pages look the same here. So, "Lemar Be Hamisra Ulashalom In Kates." The pasuk tells us, pasuk in Yeshaya, to him who increases God's authority, and for him that there shall be peace without end. So that doesn't sound like anything wild, except the word lemarbe hamishra, the word lemarbe, marbe has a mem, lamid mem, resh be is hey, right? Him who increases God's authority. So the word mem is a mem sofit. It's written as a mem sofit. That's why I asked for Tanakh before. It's printed in this Tanakh as with a mem sofit also, and it's printed in the middle of the letter as a mem sofit. So Amar Rabbi Tanchum, Darash Bar Kapara Betzipur, Rimifdei Makom Mem Shebe Em Tzateva Patuach. Why is it that every mem that's in the middle of a letter is open, right? There's an opening to the mem. But this one, but Vizeh Sasum, this one is closed. So who's the Pasuk talking about? The Pasuk is talking about Chizkiyah. So Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasos Chizkiyah Mashiach. So Hashem wanted to make Chizkiyah the Mashiach, with Sancheirav Gog Magog, and the fight and the war with Sancheirav was going to be the fight of Gog Magog. Wow. So, right? In which case, what is that? What is he saying? Chizkiyah was going to be Mashiach, and that was going to be it.
Right.
So Amr Midas Hadin Ifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Midas Hadin says, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, right? Umad David Melech Yisrael Shomer Kama Shiros Yishbachos Lefanecha Lo Asisi Mashiach. Says David Melech Yisrael, he made so many praises. He wrote all of Tehillim, and you didn't allow David to be Mashiach. Chizkiah, you did a lot of miracles for him, and he didn't respond by saying Shira. Paseyu Mashiach, you're going to make him Mashiach. L'kach nistam. And that was, therefore, the letter Mem was closed to show that God originally, to place emphasis here, God originally planned to make him Mashiach, and it was sealed in that it was not brought about. That's what the Gemara is trying to imply. So Rav Kapha goes and explains, so in every generation we have the opportunity, and we have to take over. Now, in the conclusion of the Six-Day War, we have to pick up where Chizkiah left off. That we have to be, we're now placed in our situation where we have to give the appropriate Shevach V'Odah to Hashem for all the things that have happened, and bring Mashiach Tzidkenu here v'Yameinu Amen. So Shneur Cutler gets up and he says, no, that's not the way you understand that Gemara. The way you understand the Gemara is, even if Chizkiah wasn't able to bring it, so us who are at such a lower level, we're not able to bring it. Right? So what is that? What's going on there? What's going on in that dispute? Right? So at what point are we going to be able to claim the mantle? At what point are we going to be able to point and say, we're in the position, A, to bring Mashiach, and do, and Mashiach somewhat to the side, but to do amazing things? And even when we have a nevuah, even when we have a prophecy, it's difficult to do. That's what Kol Odi Dafek is about. The book Fate and Destiny, which you might see on the bookshelf. So this is the shiur that Rav Soloveitchik gave in Yeshiva University in 1956, on Yom HaAtzmaut 1956, where he says, Kol Odi Dafek, the voice, the pasuk from Shir Hashirim, the voice of the beloved is knocking. It's knocking on the door, and we're not letting him in. And where does he? What does he mean? The voice of the beloved is knocking. So he spells out that there were six knocks that Hashem had. Salvation says, "I can point to six knocks that the Holocaust is passed, and that we had the guts to declare the state, and Jewish blood is no longer cheap." And he describes these. Look how much has changed, and we have to have the guts to go further. That's he's spelling out his Zionist theology, but it's a scary thing to go further. It's a scary thing to have that amount of guts to say, "No, this is it. This is it, and we're ready to move on this." And he quotes, and then he, so Rabbi Rekefet then quoted from a wild medrash. A medrash actually in this last week's parsha, the beginning of Parshas Emor. He said he didn't come with the Dvar Torah. Here's my little sheet here. He said he heard it. He was at a shir. Dr. Yeshaya Gafni. Dr. Yeshaya Gafni is a professor at Hebrew University, a from professor at Hebrew University. And he was at some yeshiyim, and Rav Gafni gave the following talk. He quoted the following medrash. At the beginning of Medrash Rabbah, Perek Chaftes Sif Bey, Parsha Chaftes, Section Beis, in the Midrash Rabbah in Vayikra. In this past week's Parsha in Emor, Rabbi Nachman Pasach V'Atal Tira of the Yaakov. Rabbi Nachman opened up his discourse on the Pasach saying, but as for you, you shouldn't be afraid. Yaakov, you shouldn't be afraid. It was the Pasach in Yirmiyahu. So Medaber B'Yaakov, D'chsi V'Yachalom V'Nei Sulam Mutzav Arzab. It says that Yaakov dreamt a dream, and behold, a ladder was going up. So Amar Shul Bar Nachman Elu Sari Umus Ha'olam. So who is going up? A ladder was set going up, and angels were ascending and going up and going down. So the Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman Malami Cherakadosh Baruch Hu Liyakov Avinu Sari Shel Bavel Ola Shivim Avakim. He showed him that the Sar of Bavel went up 70 steps. And Madai went up Nun Bei steps, went up 52 steps. And the Greeks went up 180 steps. The Shel Edom, and Edom is the representative of Rome, Ola V'lo Yodei Kama. It went up, and Yosef and Yaakov didn't know how far it went up. So Yaakov was very afraid. The Tsar of Edom, Christianity, Western culture, right, went up. It doesn't seem to come down. So Ba'osa Shani Siara Yaakov Avinus. Yaakov very scared. Amar Efsha She'ein Lezeh. You read this. Is it possible that it doesn't come down? So Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu V'ata Al Tira of the Yaakov. No, don't be afraid. That's where this pasuk laid it, right? Don't be afraid, Yaakov. Afilu Ole V'yoshiv Etzli Mishamani Moridu. Yes, it comes up and it sits next to me, and then I'm going to cause it to go down. Yeah. So Hadahu Dechsiv Tagvi Kanesher Vimin Kochavim Sim Kanecha. Therefore it's written, even if you raise your nest like an eagle, and if you place your nest among the stars, I'll bring you down from there. Right? Ultimately you're going to fall. So after he sees this scene, everybody comes down. So Hashem turns to Yaakov and says, Nu Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Yaakov Afata Oleh. So you should also come up. So Yaakov sees all these people, all these different nations go up, and they all come down. So Yaakov says, "Whoa, Ba'os Hashan Yisyari Yaakov Avinu Varis." At that point, Yaakov gets scared, and he says, "Shema Chas V'Shalom K'Shem Shel Elu Yerida Aflikein." Just as they went up, maybe I'm and came down. So too, I'm also going to come down. So Amar Lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu V'Ata Al Tidra. You don't have to be afraid. Imata Ola Ein Lecha Yerida Olamis. No, if you come up, you're never going to go down. Right? So Hashem is telling Yaakov, come up. Yaakov says, I'm afraid because I'm going to fall. Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, turns to Yaakov and says, Nu, if you come up, you're not going to go down. So what's his response? So says the Medrash, Lo Hemin V'Lo Allah. Yaakov didn't believe him, he didn't go up. Yaakov didn't believe him, didn't go up. So the classic pshat, The yeshivish pshat of that you see in the commentaries here in the Art School Medrash, I want to come here to make sure to take a look at this. They say, plus Yaakov was concerned that maybe he'll be on the high enough level, but maybe his generations that follow aren't going to be on high level. But this professor Gaffney said, it's a scary thing to go up. Even you have a Kaddish Baruch Hu telling him himself that no, it's going to be okay, and this is something you should do. It's not always so easy to listen. Even the nevuos of a Kaddish Baruch Hu himself. There is in Rav Schechter's article in the Ikvei Hatzon. So Rav Schechter has an article about section Lamed Beis is entitled Beinyan Begidrei Hamedina Umilchamoseha. Right, the rules of the Medina, meaning referring to Eretz Yisrael, and its wars. I mean, what are the impact? How does halacha recognize the state? How does halacha recognize its wars? How do we recognize it? And he has, it's a very long article, and over the course of it, he discusses that we have a haftacha, we have a promise that there's only going to be two destructions of the land of Israel, of the kingdom of Israel, and this is the third time around, and it's not going to be destroyed the third time. It's not going to be destroyed. Only twice does it get destroyed, and the third time it doesn't get destroyed. And he turns around and he says, and you're going to ask me, what about Bar Kokhba? It says Bar Kokhba developed a little kingdom there, and he developed a few coins. So the instructor says, oh, come on, that was a year or two, that was he published coins. We have a state, we have a country, we have it's here. So it's up to us to recognize that this is the promise. This is it. This is the nevuah that was promised to us. So and will ultimately lead to that. So you see, over the course of there's stories, they could run out of time. They could tell you stories of things that people are ready to do, and we're not ready to do it. That answer coming along, we're not ready. This person could be Mashiach. We're not ready. This, we're going to do this action to Harabayas. The generation's not ready for it. So it could be that we're not ready for it, but that's the challenge, perhaps, of this idea. And that was where Yosef fell short also. Right, this is clear. This is what's supposed to happen. But yet still, he wasn't able to let go. He still felt that I have to do a little bit, too much. I mean, Yosef was punished, and, I don't know, Yaakov was punished. I'm not sure what the conclusion of that medrash is. Yaakov was punished. But we continue to have the path open in front of us, and we have to have the guts to be able to walk through.
Yaakov couldn't have his sons when the Mashiach comes, I guess.
Okay.
It's part of the whole... It was...
Right, at what point are we... Kol Duti Dofei, the voice of the beloved is knocking, ready to come in, and we have to have the guts, we have to have the bitachon to be able to open the door. Yeah.
Go for it.
I was talking from the eerie about the Kedushin issue a couple of weeks ago. Somebody said, he was makadoshing this woman bit by bit, and they said, aren't you afraid that somebody's going to come and makadosh her all at once and take her away from you? And he says, it's Besher, it's meant to be, the Akadosh Baruch Hu provided for me. And the eerie says, no normal person thinks like that.
Right.
So would he say the same thing about Yosef's in prison? They sent these two guys to him.
No normal person could think like that. But our challenge, not forget Yosef. Our challenge is to get above the way a normal person thinks. All of these things happen. A normal person says, I'm nervous. You know, the 6-day war happened, I'm nervous. But we have to get beyond that. That's the challenge of these.
The
story of the year.
I mean, the Aries point in the if you want something, you have to do what you need to do to make it happen, not just sit back passively and assume if it's going to be will happen. And Yosef, I mean, obviously he's on a different madriga, but even so, I think Meiri probably would say, at least give a little nod to him trying to secure his own.
Right. I hear. The challenge is to get beyond that, though. That's not what a normal person does. You have to get beyond that. All right. Nishika.